Arthur gives back his sword. The days of the Knights of the Round Table are over now. The heroic days when brave knights rode out to do battle with giants and tyrants, and when Arthur wore his magic sword, Excalibur. They have all gone. Arthur and the knights and Excalibur. They fell like leaves in winter, but their story still stands like a tall tree with many branches. When Arthur set sail for France to fight in the wars, he left England in the care of his nephew, Sir Mordred. Poor, weak Mordred. He had never tasted such power. He tried on the crown of England, and he sat in Arthur's seat at the Round Table. And he said to himself, "It's good to sit in the place of the king, but how much better it would be if I owned his crown and his chair and his castles." He gathered an army made up of all the worthless knights Arthur had banished or imprisoned. And the treacherous Morgan le Fay, half-sister to the king, brought her black knights out of the land of blood to fight alongside Mordred. The news reached France, and Arthur sailed home as fast as he could to do battle with Mordred and his sworn enemy, Morgan le Fay. It was a terrible and terrifying battle. Good knights and bad took each other's lives with sword and lance, mace and axe. Every one of Mordred's men was killed. Morgan, the sorceress, seeing that the battle could not be won, fled the field and lived alone in her realm of blood till both she and her magic withered and died. At last, no one on the battlefield was left alive but Sir Mordred, Arthur, and one young knight of the Round Table, the bold Sir Bedivere. Mordred hammered at Arthur with his broadsword, but every blow from the king's magic sword Excalibur sliced open Mordred's shield. Arthur's shout rose above the clatter of weapons. "Die, you traitor! Excalibur is sharper than any sword that was ever drawn in battle!" Mordred dropped on one knee. "Ah, but where is the magic scabbard to protect you from hurt? Didn't your own sister steal it from you? Isn't it lost forever in the black ooze of a bog?" And jabbing one last time with his sword, he stabbed Arthur in the heart. As he did so, he fell with his face to the ground and died. Seeing the king stagger, Sir Bedivere ran to him across the battlefield and caught him in his arms. "I'll find Merlin, my lord. He'll make you well again," sobbed the young knight. "No, boy," said Arthur. "I'm weary. I've done my work. All the bad knights in England are dead, and you are left alive to tell my story. I'm ready to sleep now. But I do have one last command for you. Take me away from this terrible place." He pointed to a narrow path. It was getting dark. Bedivere gently carried the king along the path. It led to a ruined church overlooking a lake that shone in the moonlight. "This is no place for a wounded king," whispered Sir Bedivere. "You need a clean bed to lie in." But Arthur asked to sit in the shelter of the ruins, and he unbuckled Excalibur from round his waist. "Take this sword of mine, Bedivere. I've done with it. Take it down to the lake and throw it in." "Throw Excalibur into the lake?" The young knight was horrified. "The king doesn't know what he's saying," he thought. "He'll regret this when he gets well again." So he took the sword down to the lake, but instead of throwing it into the glittering water, he hid it among the roots of a tree. When he returned, the king said, "Well, did you throw it in?"
"I did, sir."
"And what happened?"
"Happened, sir? Nothing happened. The wind blew through the reeds and a few frogs croaked."
In spite of his wounds, the king shouted,
"You disobeyed me! You didn't throw it!"
He tried to get to his feet, but he was too weak.
"Go back and throw that sword into the lake, boy! Do as I tell you!"
Sir Bedivere ran back to the tree and pulled out Excalibur. It was such a beautiful sword. The hilt was full of jewels, and the moonlight spun off them like sparks. He whirled the sword once round his head, but could not bring himself to let go. So he hid it under a bush and went back.
"Well," asked the king eagerly, "what happened?"
"I threw it in, sir. It made a great splash, and the nightingale stopped singing."
"Liar! You traitor!"
choked Arthur.
"Have I only one knight left, and he a liar who refuses to obey me? Must I go myself?"
Sir Bedivere could not speak for bitter remorse. He ran back as fast as his legs would carry him, snatched up Excalibur, and hurled it far out into the lake. At the very moment its hilt touched the water, a woman's arm clothed in white silk reached up out of the lake and caught it. Three times the hand brandished the sword, then it was drawn below the waves, and it was as if it had never been. Breathless with amazement, Sir Bedivere ran back to King Arthur and told him what he had seen. Arthur smiled and touched the boy's hair.
"You have done well. Excalibur was not mine, you see. It was only lent to me by the Lady of the Lake. Now, carry me down to the shore."
Bedivere lifted him one last time, but reaching the lake, found it no longer deserted. Moored among the reeds was a shallow barge draped at bow, masthead and stern with black cloth. Three women, veiled and dressed in black, stood on the shore beckoning. "Lay him in the boat, Sir Bedivere. Your task is finished." Wrapped in rugs, in the bow of the barge, King Arthur seemed to be sleeping. As Bedivere stepped out of the barge, it pulled away from the shore and into the heart of the lake, where mists draped it round.
"Where are you taking him?"
Bedivere called across the water, and the answer came back,
"To Avalon, to Avalon."
And that was the last any mortal saw of the king. The greatest knight ever to wear armor. The greatest hero ever to draw sword. People say that Arthur is not dead. That the herbs of Avalon healed him, and he is sleeping, worn out after all his battles. They say that if the country is in danger and needs its best warriors, Arthur and his fallen knights may come back someday from the magic vale called Avalon.